thank you so much, Johnny and Miss Tommy. And we sure do appreciate and love you folks so very much. You probably don't know this, but yesterday some of our men Friday and Saturday had a chance to build a handicap ramp for one of our faithful members. And Johnny spent probably, what, 2 or 3 hours yesterday on his knees smoothing out concrete. And it was such a good-looking ramp. And so I know that he's tired and sore today. And so appreciate so much him sharing and his wife, Tommy, sharing with us today. We've been on the subject of prayer for the last couple of weeks in a series called Pray This Way. And today we'll conclude this series. As I want to ask a question today, how do we connect with God in prayer? How do we connect with God in prayer? We've defined prayer as meaningful, spontaneous communication with God. Meaningful, spontaneous communication with God. If there was ever a time that our nation and our churches needed to pray, that time is now. There's so much going on in this nation and in this world. And I don't mean just saying our prayers. I mean praying prayers that God hears, that God honors, and that God responds to. Some years ago, Newsweek did an article entitled Talking to God, and they hired Gallup to do extensive research all across this nation to find out how often people were talking to God, and the results were fairly surprising and impressive. 91% of women, 85% of men said that they pray regularly. 91% of women, 85% of men said that they pray regularly. 57% of Americans say that they pray at least once a day. 57%. The survey went on to say that 32% of the people who pray report that praying gives them a deep sense of peace. 26% said that they actually sense the presence of God in their prayers. And all that sounded encouraging until the final statistic. Only 15% who said that they pray every day receive a definite answer to their prayers. Only 15% said that they receive a definite answer to their prayers. Now, there's a lot of people praying, but there aren't a lot of people connecting with God and receiving answers for the prayers that they're praying. I heard about a children's Sunday school class. The teacher was getting them to write letters to missionaries all over the world. And the teacher told the children, said, now listen, these missionaries are very, very busy. And they probably won't have time to answer the letter. So one of the kids wrote a letter to the missionary and said, dear Reverend Smith, we are praying for you. But don't worry, we're not expecting an answer. Well, I'm afraid that's the case with a lot of people. God not only wants us to pray, but He wants us praying prayers that He enjoys, praying prayers that He hears, and praying prayers that He responds to. We need to pray in such a way that we expect an answer, that we anticipate an answer, that we're looking for an answer, that we're going to receive an answer to what it is we're praying for. I read a statement this week that just really rattled my cage, and it's a simple statement, but I just really pondered on it all week long. And the statement is this: God never does anything great or supernatural apart from prayer. God never does anything great or supernatural apart from our praying. Now take a second and really process that. R.A. Torrey, a great preacher of a different generation, said this: prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouse of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer, but we must use the key. Now let me say that again. Prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God has and all that God is at the disposal of prayer, but we must use the key. Now think about this. I carry in my pocket just two keys. The key to my truck and the key to our home. Now, the key to my home is special. Tammy has the key. I have the key. I think Annie has the key. She may have given a key to somebody else in case if we lock ourselves out, just in case. But only special people receive a key to your home. Several weeks ago, there's a dear a friend and a senior adult man in this church who's very precious to me, Gerald Griffin. And Gerald's got a 1988 pickup truck, and he bought it brand new, and this truck means the world to him. He babies this truck, but it's an old pickup truck. He uses it to pull a trailer and haul off stuff, so he told me one time, he said, look, if you ever need your lawnmower to go to the shop or anything, you call me. I'll come out there and get it, load on my trailer. You're welcome to the trailer. He said, but I don't really want you hauling anything in that beautiful truck of yours. Use this old pickup truck. I've been using it for years, since 1988, for that purpose. And so he'd taken my lawnmower to Kenny's to get it serviced and brought it back out to the house. And he was sitting in the driveway, and he said, I want to give you something that's special to me. I said, okay. He handed a key, and he said, this is a key to my pickup truck. And he said, anytime you want to use it, anytime you need to use it for anything, I don't want you to use your truck to haul stuff or to pull stuff, but you use this pickup truck, and here's a key. Anytime you need it, this truck will be available to you. Man, what a high compliment. I mean, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach and through his pickup. I mean, for him to, I wouldn't want a key to his house, but a key to his truck is something special. You see, we only give keys to somebody who has a certain relationship status to us, and someone that really means something to us. So I want to ask you a question. Would you like to receive a key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven? Would you like to receive a key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven? Secondly, would you like to have a key that will unleash and unlock the power of God in your life and in your future? Prayer is the key that unlocks the throne room of God. Here's one of the most beautiful truths concerning prayer. We can come to God anytime, any day, about anything. We can come to God anytime, any day, about anything. You have direct access to the most powerful person and the most powerful being that there is. He gives you direct access to His power and to His person. And He desires to work supernaturally on our behalf, but He will only do so through prayer. And so if prayer is what gets God to work, then what is the key to getting prayer to work? Well, there's a couple of really beautiful verses found in 1 John. So if you brought your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 5. And I want to read verse 14 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. If you're there, say amen. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. And so 1 John says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. You see, God is not near as concerned with our eloquence as He is our confidence. We must have confidence that we have acceptance to God's presence, and we must have the confidence that He'll answer our prayer. George Mueller, who was one of the greatest prayer warriors to ever live, he documented over 25,000 answers to his prayers. Here's what he said. He summed up his prayer life by saying this: prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying hold of God's willingness. It's not overcoming God's reluctance, but it's laying hold of God's willingness. Now, do me a favor. I don't often do this, but do me a favor. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I don't typically incorporate multiple passages, but I really want to draw some parallels between 1 John and Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this: so let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. All right, so who's getting access? Who's approaching the throne? Who's obtaining mercy? Who's finding grace? Because not just anyone can come to God in confidence, and not just anyone can come boldly to the throne, but it gives us two pronouns, two types of people who can come before God and receive access and can come to God in boldness. Those two pronouns are us and we. Us and we. It's restricted to that. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace in time of help and need. So there's an us and there's a we. Now look at verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we possess. There it is again. We and us who have faith in Jesus, believing He's the Son of God and the great high priest. If we believe that, it gives us confidence to approach His throne of grace. And when we do that, we're talking to God not as a citizen talks to a president, not as a slave is talking to a master, but as a child is talking to a father. So when we come to God, it is like a child coming to a parent. In fact, when the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," the first thing God taught them is we pray like this: God, our heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus said the basis of prayer, the basis of connecting with God, is like a child connected to a parent. And so when you're a child, you're able to come to your parent with confidence and boldness. A child will ask a parent anything. Annie, when she'd come to me, she'd ask us anything. She had confidence, she had boldness that she could come to us and ask us for whatever. Now, when she was young, she was constantly wearing us down with questions. Can I have this? Can we go here? Can we go out to eat? Will you buy me this? It gets to a point, it's like, no. The more questions they ask, the more you say no. Well, she got married a couple of years ago, moved to Texas, just turned 24. She never asked me to do anything. Last year, she said, I want to ask you to do something. Would you consider running a half marathon with me? Now, 10 or 11 years ago, I did that chapter. I went through a running phase. I ran several half marathons. I ran a full marathon. I had no intentions of ever going back to that chapter. I turned the page. I had no desire to ever start back running again. But my child asked me to do something for her. And so I thought, well, this will be a beautiful memory that we can make. And I said, well, let's come up with a training plan. And so for 4 months, we trained together, we ran together, and I'd text her in the morning, how far are you running today? And then in the evening, she'd text, I ran this far, this was my time. And so it was a lot of fun. We'd talk in the evenings, how was your run today? How'd you feel? Did you do well? Was it good? And I had to even run through December. I have no intentions of running through December. My intent is to eat my way through December. That's how I roll. And so it finally got time, and we had settled on a race in New Orleans because that's a halfway point from where she lives in Waco to where we live here. And so it was just perfect. They had a half marathon, rock and roll half marathon on February the 9th. That's her birthday and our anniversary, and so it's great. The halfway point, it's her birthday. We'll get to spend her birthday with her, our anniversary. And best of all, we'll get to make a memory together. So we trained for 4 months. Texting each other, talking to each other. So race day came. We stayed in an Airbnb in New Orleans. We Ubered to the... I've never felt more millennial in my life. We were Airbnb and we were Ubering. It was a beautiful thing. I felt young again. So we're at the starting line. We're high-fiving. We're really doing this. This is so exciting. We've been training. Now, I'd had some issues with my ankle, my right ankle in training, and had to wear a brace on it, and I set aside for a couple of weeks, wasn't able to run, and it was better. I was over that, and so we 13.1 miles is a half marathon. We got to 12.1 miles, and something happened, not to my right ankle, but my left ankle. I mean, I don't know what happened, but we were 1 mile from the finish line, and something happened, and I said, whoa, I said, something is wrong here. I said, let me stop, let me put the ankle that's on my, the brace that's on my right ankle, put it on my left ankle, and I said, let me sit down for just a minute, and she said, you mind if I go ahead and finish? I
For 4 months, I had envisioned us crossing this finish line together, embracing tears, emotions, putting that medal around her neck and around my neck. You mind if I go ahead and finish? Couldn't help but wonder how many times I'd done that to God. Well, I'd been praying about something, and God says, all right, let's do this. We're in this thing together. And God says, let's go. This is going to be awesome. You're going to glorify me. You're going to be so pleased. And we get right to the finish line. I say, you mind if I go ahead? And I can't imagine how many times I've broken his heart. The Apostle John says that we're to have this confidence in him. In literally means beside him or with him. You see, the moment we pray, it transports us. We're right there next to God the minute that we pray. When you pray, you have your Father's undivided attention, and he wants to know what's on your heart. Let me ask you, if I were to call President Trump, I really need to speak to my president, you think he'd talk to me? He's way too busy. If I wrote him a letter and said, President Trump, I just want to share with you what's on my, as a concerned citizen of the United States, as a supporter and one who voted for you, I really just want to share with you. Do you think he'd write me back? No, because he's the most powerful man in the nation. He's way too busy to care about me. But from the very minute that you say, Heavenly Father, that very minute, the most incredible person, the most powerful person in the world says, you have my undivided attention. That's the confidence that we have as believers. When we come to God, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So a great question is, how can we know that we're praying in accordance to his will? Well, let me ask you this. How can you know that what you're praying is according to his will? Well, you have to seek his will first. And if you seek his will, the more you seek it, the more you'll find it and the more confidence you'll have in his will. And then you can pray then according to his will. Remember what I've told you about prayer, that our purpose of praying is not to get our will done in heaven. The purpose of praying is to get God's will done on the earth. We're not praying in order to choosing the God's will. We're praying not to change God's will, but we're praying so that we can choose God's will. If there's any place that a Christian ought to feel the safest and the happiest, it is in the will of God. I tell people, oftentimes people in this church, their teenagers will want to go on a mission trip, and they'll say, oh, Chris, I'm so worried. They're going to be on that plane. They're going to a country, and boy, that country's unsettled. I'm just worried to death. I said, listen, if your child feels like this is God's will for their life, the safest place they can be is in the will of God. They'll be much safer in God's will in an unsettled country than they will be under your roof, if they're in the will of God. And so we're to pray in accordance to the will of God. So verse 15 says, if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. And so look at these verses. It says over and over, we know, we ask, we have. Now, if we think something, that makes it our opinion. But if we know something, that makes it a certainty. And so the Bible says we can know that he hears us. That word hear means not only listen, but it means to act on one's behalf. And so God responds to our prayers in a variety of ways. One way he responds to our prayers is quickly. You ever had an instance where you prayed for something and all of a sudden there it was? Doesn't that feel good? I think about Rick. I love Rick and Lynn so much. And Rick's been wanting to go to the Masters for 10 years. He's been wanting to go to Augusta National and just visit that golf course and walk that golf course for 10 years. He's done everything he can to get a ticket and has come up empty so many times. And so this year, he decided, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to put it on Facebook. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to plead, if anybody knows where I can get 2 tickets for me and my son to go to Augusta National, please just put me in contact with anybody. I'll try anything. It was like a minute and a half. He put it on Facebook. A minute and a half, somebody contacted him and said, I've got 2 tickets for you for Saturday's round. What a beautiful display of answered prayer. Now, it's been canceled, but that's not part of the illustration. Don't you know, just I'm leaving that part out. It was just, it was incredibly beautiful that the Lord answered his prayer so quickly. Oftentimes, that's what the Lord does. We can have confidence that when we come to the Lord, that he's going to answer our prayer. But then there's times where God delays. Have you ever been there? You've prayed, you've sought, you've fasted, you have been on your knees before the Lord. Let me ask you, if that's where you're at today, just keep trusting, keep praying, keep believing, keep pleading with the Lord. Just keep being confident. Remember what I told you last week. If God tells you no, he's not telling you no to hurt you. He's telling you no to help you. Bill Hybels says, and I mentioned it last week, if the request is wrong, God says no. If you're wrong, God says grow. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. But if you're right, the request is right, and the timing is right, God says go. And so just keep praying. If God says no, he's not being cruel. He's preparing you for something even better than what it is you're praying for. I heard about a preacher who was preaching to his church about prayer, and he said this: God never did give me what I wanted. God never did give me what I wanted. He's preaching this on a Sunday morning, and he said, God never let me pastor the church that I wanted to pastor. You can imagine the people are sitting there going. And he said this: God didn't even let me marry the person I wanted to marry. His wife sitting on the front row going, for real? But then he finished by saying this: you know what God did? God gave me something so much better than I wanted. And that's what God does. He gives us his best, which is better than our best, which is better than what we want. Verse 15 says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. So when you're right, your request is right, and the timing is right, then God says, as any parent would, absolutely. I want to bless you. And that's what God does. We connect to him as a child connects to a parent. And most any reasonable parent, if the request is right, the timing is right, and the child is right, most any reasonable parent will say, you go right ahead. I know when Annie wanted a cell phone, cell phones were starting to come out. You know, they had the razors and the flip phones, and she was like in seventh grade. She said, she'd been saying for a year, so I want a phone. Everybody's got a phone. Sally got a phone. This person got a phone. Everybody in her class was getting phones. She said, I want a phone. But we kept putting her off. It's not the time yet. You don't even need a phone. Who are you going to call? And so finally it got to a point where it seemed like she had earned the right. The timing was right. And we decided as parents it was right to give her a cell phone. But there for a while, she would plead with us. Please, can I have a cell phone? No, the timing's not right. But once the timing was right and she was right, and the request was right, absolutely. So let me just encourage you today. Whether you're seeing answers to your prayers or not, you can rest assured that whatever it is you're praying about, whether it's a healing, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is you're praying for, that once the timing is right and you're right and the request is right, God will say, absolutely, I want to bless you. One of my favorite stories about prayer, there was a county or a town that didn't allow any alcohol in it. The stores didn't sell alcohol. They didn't have any bars. And all of a sudden, this guy showed up into town. He wanted to build a bar in this county, and the people freaked out, and he got permission from planning and zoning, and he began building this bar, and it was almost complete. And so the church was so upset about this, they began having prayer meetings about this bar, that God would destroy this bar. And so they began praying on their knees, having special prayer meetings. One night a thunderstorm rolled in, lightning struck that bar, it was engulfed in flames. The owner of that bar filed suit against that church. You know what that church did? They hired a lawyer and denied all responsibility. And so in response, the judge who was handling the case said that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The atheist tavern owner believes in prayer, but the church doesn't. My friend, can I ask you today, do you believe in prayer? Are you connected with God? The only way to connect with God in prayer is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never received Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, there is no greater need. Today, you can pass from death to life. You can invite Jesus into your heart. You can be born again, and you'll never be the same. All you've got to do is call on Him, and you can have the confidence to believe that Jesus will step out of heaven into your heart, and you'll never be the same. The greatest decision I ever made was calling on Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Has life been perfect? No. But He's given me a peace that passes all understanding. That's what Jesus does. You're looking for a church to join? You come today. We can't shake your hand and hug your neck today, but you come and we'll celebrate. Maybe there's a need, and maybe it's a health need, a financial need, a family need, and you just want to come kneel at the altar. They're certainly available for you to do that. And I know it's a crowded sanctuary. There may be some people standing between you and one of these aisles. They'll graciously move. I promise you they will. Whatever God's calling you to do today, you be obedient. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would use this invitation to honor, to glorify yourself, to stir our hearts, to get our attention, to help us make decisions. Lord, whatever it is you're calling us to do today, I pray that we'd be obedient to that voice. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I'll be standing down front. You come as the Lord leads.